Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Well, we're going to go straight into the Word this morning. We've been talking about receiving from God. Hallelujah. Come with me to the book of John 3 verse 27 this morning. The Bible here says, to this John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. Somebody, are you hearing me? Says, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. So if you're going to receive and have, you got to learn to receive it from heaven. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help does not come from the hill. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and the earth. Quickly this morning, why is God interested in giving to you? Why does God give? Why? Why does God give to people? Why is God willing and interested to give to you? Number one, because man is limited. Man is limited. God has to give to man because man is limited. No matter how beautiful you look this morning, you are still limited in some areas. No matter how much money you make, you are still limited. No matter how great you are, you are still limited. Please never forget this reality about yourself. You are limited. John 15 verse 5. Jesus speaking says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Man is limited. Man is limited. And if you start being aware of this, you will start understanding why you and I need to receive from God. Because there are things that if God, anyway, let me not go ahead of myself. Second reason why God wants to give to you. Are you learning something already? What is number one? I think you should rather say, I am limited. Do you understand? There are limitations, financial limitations, relational limitations. They are just limitations. There are limitations. The second reason why you need God to give to you is because the earth is cursed. The earth is cursed. Hallelujah. I'm trying to explain to you why you need help from above. Why you need God to invest in you. Why you need God to help you. The first reason is because you are limited. No matter how you try, you will quickly see that there are things you can't do without God. Number two, the earth that you are working on is cursed. Are you here? Genesis 3 verse 17. The Bible says, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded to you, you must not eat of it. Look at this. Cursed is the ground because of you. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. Are you catching something? So you see, the life of a man is connected to the ground. Everything we do on earth is connected to the ground. We walk on the ground. We build on the ground. Everything we do needs the ground for us to survive. You thank God today for technological advancement, but I mean, way back then, man needed the soil for his resources. Man needed the soil for everything. And that really hasn't changed much, if you can understand what I'm saying. Now, bear with me. Now, we depend on the soil, and yet the soil is cursed. This ground got cursed when man disobeyed God. And from that day, God cursed the ground because of man. Ever since that day, this ground does not respond to you except God speaks to it. The ground, the soil has ears. And until the ground can hear, God says, bless this one. You will go helter-skelter, nothing will work. Why do we need God's hands in our lives? The soil is cursed. It doesn't give you back what you put in it. You see a man that has worked for a company for 35 years. And look at what he gets for all those 35 years. I mean, you want to tell me that all my life that I have invested here, this is all I'm getting out of it? That is the earth for you. You will put your youth there. You will put your intelligence there. You will put everything you know there. But at the end of the day, sometimes even a house, you don't get out of it. I say, even a house. The earth is cursed. So we are not prospering because we work hard necessarily. We prosper because God blesses us. It is when God intervenes that you start seeing a change. Until then, really nothing much happens. Number three, why does God blesses you and me? Why is God interested in giving you? Because I'm teaching about receiving from God. But you need to understand why God wants to give to you. Number three, because there are certain things only God can do. There are certain things only God can do. Are you catching me this morning? Certain things only God can do. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 26. The Bible says, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, help me, my lord, the king. Verse 27. The Bible says, the king replied, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? The woman is asking the king to help her. And the king is answering back and says, if God does not help you, my sister, where will I be able to help you? Now, supposedly, this is the biggest and the strongest man in the land. The king is the most powerful person in any country. So if I'm asking help to the king or from the king, I think I should get something from there. Because that's the most powerful person in the land. But brothers and sisters, even the king is limited in his ability to help you. And there are things that even the king cannot help you with. I think it's quite dangerous to expect from man what only God can give you. In this case, you are finding a person who is wishing to receive help from a man, yet that help can only come from God. Brothers and sisters, let's be careful, because many a times you are waiting for a man to help you, you are waiting for your uncle to help you, you are waiting for your sister to help you. Meanwhile, the only person that can actually help you in this situation is God Almighty. If God does not help you, who can help you? There are things only God can do. You must recognize that some of the things you are waiting for the government to do, the government with all its might will never be able to do those things. Your salary with all its might will never be able to do those things. Your father with all his might will never be able to do those things. Stop looking unto man and fix your eyes to God. If God does not help you, who am I talking to this morning? You are still looking for a person to solve an issue. Meanwhile, that issue, even if all the people of the world come together, they will still not be able to help you. If God, listen to the king replied, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help to? Where can I get help? Brothers and sisters, when you ask your father, it doesn't come. You ask your uncle, it doesn't come. You ask your neighbor, it doesn't come. Stop looking to people. Fix your eyes to the Lord and say, I'm not going to turn to God. A lot of you could have been already in another dimension if you had removed your eyes from men. You are waiting for men what only God can give. What only God can give. You are wishing and hoping that this guy will love me this way. He will talk to me this way. She will treat me this way. There are certain things only God can do. No human being will be able to love you that way. No human being will be able to care for you that way. I wish there was a person, but that person does not exist. That person is in heaven, and he's the only one who can help in this situation. I see you changing in the name of Jesus. Number four, please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Why does God give? Why? You need to understand the purpose. Because it is my desire that we should all receive from the Lord. But Dr. Miles Monroe of Blessed Memory said something very profound. He said, where purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable. If I don't know the purpose why God gives, I will abuse God's gifts. I will abuse it. So I gotta know why God gives to people. Number four, God gives to meet your needs. Which number is that? Is that number three or number four? God gives to meet your needs. To meet your needs. First Timothy 6 verse 17. The Bible says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, meaning not to be proud, nor to trust in uncertain riches. Hello, somebody. God is calling riches uncertain. We all have, you know, memories of people who were rich yesterday, and today we don't even know where the money went. If you walk around Rustenburg, you know, you'll find certain factories that are closed. Those factories were thriving before, and people were making money. But riches are uncertain. That you have it today doesn't mean you'll have it tomorrow. My prayer for you is that you'll have it always. But if you don't know what helps you to have it always, you can easily lose it. Many have lost it. I think in every family, you will have an uncle that tells you, I used to. In every year, there's an old car that doesn't work anymore. And they will tell you, no, I used to drive this car. All those things have left. Riches are uncertain. So he says, do not trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God. Now listen, who gives us richly, how many things? All things. God gives us richly all things. For which purpose? To enjoy. Clap for God immediately. I tell you. To enjoy. God gives us all things to enjoy. So you need to understand, God is not just interested in you suffering. God wants you to enjoy. Praise the Lord. Now, I believe that with this verse, you can quickly know when God has given you something and when God didn't give you something. Many times, what you have, you are not enjoying it. You are enduring it. And that's how you know if God is the one who gave you this thing. How come you are saying God gave you this person? You've never enjoyed one day with this person. From the day you met them at the mall until now, you are crying every day. You are saying that God gave you the job, but the job, you've never enjoyed this job. At work, they are always shouting at you, insulting you. The salary is never what you expected. And when the money comes, you can never use it. I mean, you are enduring. That is how you know if God gave you something or if it's another person that has given you this thing. Are you enjoying? Are you enjoying? Or are you enduring? Check it very well. Check the thing. Many people claim God gave me. God didn't give you. You gave to yourself. You gave to yourself. You went and took a loan. And you gave to yourself. And you came and said, no, I thank God, God gave. Then you start enduring to pay back this thing. When it's month end, you lose your, your blood pressure goes up. Are you blessed? Check the things that are in your life. Are you enjoying them? Or are you enduring them? This is how you know if you are actually in the will of God or not. How come you are crying every night? No. And you know, sometimes it takes a lot of courage to admit, God didn't give me this one. Can I submit to you? Not everything in your life came from God. Some of us only met God along the way. Now, don't be proud. Admit that some of the things that are in my life are the result of my own doing. My own pride, my own envy and covetousness. I went for this by myself. I saw the girl. I liked her. I didn't pray. I went for her. Now, I'm enduring. All my friends were having boyfriends, so I also wanted to have somebody. And the first person that came my way, I said, no, let me give it a try. Why not? Now your whole story is a story of misery. It's a horror movie. The only difference is that you are not watching the movie. You are in the movie this time. Somebody is catching wisdom in the name of Jesus. Why does God give to us? Number what? Number five. So that we can meet the needs of others. So that we can meet the needs of others. God gives to you to meet your needs. But then that's not the only reason why God gives to you. I hope you are still with me. 1 John 3:17. The Bible says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? God is asking, how can the love of God be in you if when you see a need, you are not moved? You have material possession, but apparently you have them just for you. And your wife, and your sisters, and your brothers. Like everything God gives to you, as soon as it enters your life, it is stuck. It can never go beyond you to reach others. And God is asking, how can you say the love of God is in you? Who else benefits from your salary? Let's talk. Who else benefits from your salary apart from your household? Who else? You know, during the week,
I went to drop my kids. After dropping my kids, I dropped my wife there by the crash. I reversed the car. No, I actually parked the car. There are these people that usually sell the opposite Metropolitan. So I went there and I bought some scones. I was feeling like scones that morning. And there's a lady that she makes very nice ones. So the day before I went to her, they were finished. So I told her, no, I'm coming tomorrow. And I did come. So you understand, this is something that was part of the plan. Like I planned it and I told her I'm coming and I came. And I bought them. And I took them and they were the ones I like. I was wearing my hoodie. I put them inside this pocket. Yeah. The hoodie pockets. So I got in the car and I reversed the car. As I'm about to leave, there's this madman that you always see in Sad Village there. He sleeps all over. He sleeps this side, he sleeps that side, he sleeps. He's always sleeping around, and he's the mayor of Sad Village. How many of you know that mad guy? He's always around. Talks to himself. Sometimes he starts wee-weeing in front of you. He doesn't mind. He's just himself. So I see him and I realize he spent the night there next to the road. Immediately, the Holy Spirit says to me, give him those coins. I said, never, never. I said, me, these coins, I started planning them since yesterday. How can I give him these coins? In fact, I pressed the accelerator and I drove off. I left him there. I said, somebody else will help him today, not me. So I went around, if you know, I passed Build It, I passed the police station, and I'm now headed to Engen. And I'm supposed to meet up Shepherd Lawrence next to Engen, and we're supposed to go to Spa to buy food for the workers. So I go and I park next to Standard Bank, if you understand Star Village very well. I park there, and I come out, and I'm headed to Spa. Shepherd Lawrence is waiting for me right in front of Spa so we can enter and buy food for the workers. As soon as I'm about to enter Spa, the same madman is now passing in front of me. And the Holy Spirit says, here he is again. Give him. I put my hand in the pocket. I gave him this gun. I said, go. Before I change my mind. Myself, I left this man sleeping that side, and I thought I'm running away from him. Yet he, as soon as I left, he also stood up, and the timing was so perfect. As I'm entering Spa, he's also passing in front of me. I realize if I don't give this guy these cones now, the diarrhea I will have from these cones, only God knows. We bought the food for the workers. We headed to Mahobi's kraal where we were working. When we parked the car, I just decided to check my phone for messages. And I see a message from somebody. And the person had sent me 1,250 rand. I was baffled. I said, what? I thought I'm joking. I thought I'm not seeing well. So I went and I said, the person sent also a WhatsApp. They said to me, Pastor, this money, I'm sending it to you as a first fruit for something I'm busy doing here in town. Hey. And the Holy Ghost says to me, you see, you gave false coins. In less than 30 minutes, I've sent you 1,250. I think you, the next time you see that madman, you should give him something. You never know. Praise the Lord. Amen. To meet the needs of others. The needs of others. Let another person smile because you are on earth. let another person also enjoy life because you met them. Look at verse 18. Verse 18, he says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with what? Actions. Come on, with what?
Actions.
And in truth. Love cannot just be with words. Oh, you know, I love you so much. Oh, you know, you are so good. Oh, you are so beautiful. I love you. No, let us love with actions. I think you guys are no more enjoying this stuff. Like now, I'm not telling you things that are supposed to empower you. Love with actions. Love is not just a noun, it is a verb. A verb, meaning it's something you do. It's not just something you say. Love with actions. Hallelujah. There must be some action. You can't say you love this woman and there's no action. You can't say you love God and there's no action. You can't say you love your husband. There's no action. You can't say you love your children. There's no action. Can't say you love your dad. There's no action. Yeah. You know, I think 2 weeks ago from Sunday school, my daughter wrote a message to my wife and I. I asked Marvin to keep it in my office. I want to frame it. A simple message. But it touched my heart to the core. I said, I want to frame this. At her little age, she drew a heart and she wrote a message next to that heart. And saying that my wife and I are awesome. And she says, thank you to us for loving her. You know, all those things. I said, wow. What a blessing. As little as she is, she can also touch my heart with an action. Yes, you don't have money, but you have words. You have hands. Do you love your mother? Why don't you sweep the house? Why don't you do something to show that you're also interested? Let us not love with words or tongue, but with what?
Actions.
Actions. Actions. I think there's a statement that action speaks louder than words. There's a statement like that. There's a statement that what you do is more powerful than what you are saying. Actions speak louder than words. Praise the Lord. These are purposes why God will give to you. When God sees that you are not greedy, that you just want things for yourself. God must give you money for yourself. God must give you a car for yourself. God must give you a house for yourself. Everything is just for you. God wants to meet your needs. Yes, but God wants to meet others' needs through you. And to the degree to which you are submitted to God, to that degree God will give more. Because God says, when I give more, your heart is open, you can do more. I mean, look at me, a whole pastor with branches struggling to give false corns to a madman. I mean, you just think about that for a second. So I just compare myself. I realize that you guys could even be worse. If me, the pastor, God had to bring the madman a second time. I've repented from that thing. Even though God rewarded me, I still fell. I really failed God. Why did God have to do? I mean, if the madman didn't appear, they said, I was going to. And I was going to eat my scones nicely. God needed to make the madman to walk again. And meet me halfway at a spa. Before I could release the scones to the madman. We are changing in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together for the Lord. One of the last reasons why God gives to you and I is to build his church. To build his church and to advance his kingdom. To build his church and to advance his kingdom. I repeat, to build his church and to advance his kingdom. Praise the Lord. I want to submit something to you real quickly. We have all heard about Boko Haram. Have you heard about Boko Haram before? They abducted 200 girls from a school, and we have never seen those girls until today. That's about 6 years ago. They bombed churches in the north of Nigeria, and they even descended to the south and the southeast, caused a lot of commotion all the time. Last week, 11 countrymen from our country were killed by Boko Haram. 11 of them. They cause pain all the time. Now, I ask you a question. Have you ever seen people going to work, and Boko Haram guys have also gone to work, like they are working like every pay, so at the end of the month they get paid and then they can go and buy guns and they can go and buy bombs and all of that. Have you ever seen Boko Haram guys in places where, like, we are working here, they are also coming to work? Yet they have money to buy guns. Yet they have money to buy bombs. And they are not working. Nobody knows these people to be working anyway. For years, they've been causing havoc. The question becomes, where do they get the money from? Do you understand? You need to ask yourself, who, where is the money coming from? I'm going to tell you where the money is coming from. There are people who are sponsoring this terrorist group. They have money. They cannot blow themselves. They cannot bomb. But they can give their money so that other people can go and do the work. As Boko Haram is busy causing terror everywhere, they are sponsored by some rich people somewhere. You might never know that person, but it is his money that is pushing the terrorism. Am I communicating? If a few rich people can put themselves together and say, we will sponsor this terrorist group to cause terror, to cause pain, to cause problem, why is it that believers cannot also put themselves together and say, we will sponsor this man to preach the gospel, to advance the kingdom of God, to make sure that other people are blessed? Brothers and sisters, as bad a work as Boko Haram is doing, there are people that are sponsoring it. And I want to say with all fairness, I believe that the church is doing a better work than Boko Haram. Like if you compare the two, yet people are sponsoring Boko Haram. And believers struggle to sponsor the gospel. I tell you. You hear me talk about we went to work in Mahobi's car because I got an emergency call on Sunday night that the land we bought last year, people want to steal it from us. They are saying we are not doing anything with the land. They want to take it. Do you think it's because I don't want to do anything with the land? Where is the money? They say to you, pay your tithe. You say, hey, me. I had to rush to my hobby, start meeting people, say, no. We are here. I had to hire people to come and cut the grass so that at least they can see there's a bit of action. Now I'm asking myself, what am I going to do now? Because the grass is starting. As soon as you cut the grass starts growing again. We should build a church there. I said we should build a church there. And you know what? If everybody here could just pay your tithe faithfully, certain things will happen without us even having to say a word. Boko Haram. Sponsored. Believers withholding their resources that the kingdom of God should not advance. They will take care of themselves, their children, and their grandchildren. Nobody with above their sphere will ever receive anything. That's why sometimes God looks at us and says, you know, you, I will never give you beyond here because I can already see The little I have given you, I keep pounding on you. Do this, you don't want. I don't give to you. He told Abraham, I will bless you, but you will become a blessing. Not just bless you for you. God blesses us so that we can become a blessing. A blessing. In other words, when you arrive somewhere, people are happy. People are happy. People are happy. I'm speaking to your heart this morning. I'm grateful to some of us that have committed ourselves, that will push the kingdom. We will push God's agenda. I'm telling you, you are doing something noble. I want to show you a verse. We are at the end, and I didn't even start the message I was supposed to preach. So you're going to have to go on YouTube for that one. Praise the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord in the book of 1 Chronicles 22, verse 11. The Bible here says, now, my son, may the Lord be with you. May you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God. Now, some of you are not clapping. You are not clapping at all. You are just saying, hey, hey. May you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is the quintessential purpose of prosperity. Prosperity is not for you to show off. Prosperity is supposed to lead to the building of the house of God, your God. Your God. All these people that are sponsoring Boko Haram are Muslims. They are pushing the jihad agenda. You think they are Hindus? You think they are Christians? No. They are radical Islamic people. Bishop Dag was talking not so long ago about how there are some countries now where they enter the country with their money and they say, no, we'll open some businesses in the city to create employment, but you must allow us to build a mosque here, a mosque there, a mosque there, meaning the temple of worship. So they are using their financial power to bend the will of people. Gaddafi used his financial power to tell Amin, Jamin Dada, he told him, if you continue moving around with Israel, we'll never sponsor you. If you want us to help you, you have to cut ties with Israel. Because we are Muslims. We can't flow with them. And guess what? Amin bowed. He cut ties with Israel. He started moving with these guys because they have the money. They have the money. And listen to me. I'm not saying that you have billions. No, the little you have. The little you have. If everybody is determined, no, we're going to push the agenda of God. We are here. God is going to give to you to meet your needs. To meet the needs of others. And number three, to advance His kingdom. And whenever God finds a man who is willing to do that, God will never stop blessing that man. Never. And I believe this morning, God is finding that man in this church. God is finding such people in the church. You know why? Because God is going to bless us. I'm teaching you why God bless. If I had it enough time, I was going to show you how God bless. That is the part I couldn't show you today. But next week we'll continue on that. Praise the Lord. I'm just trying to show you this morning. Listen. Don't be a greedy person. You want it for you. The rich fool. The Bible says God bless him. After God bless him, the rich fool, instead of him blessing others, he said, what am I going to do?
God has given me a lot. He said, no, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to open new bank accounts. Because my current bank accounts are too full. Money cannot enter anymore. I'm going to open a new bank account with Capitec. Another one with Africa Bank. Like, you know, this small bank. I'm going to also go there and open there. Then I'm going to push money there. Then I'm going to say to my soul, oh, my soul, relax. Eat, drink, and be merry. Why? He said, you have food store up for years to come. Relax. Enjoy yourself. He says, with all that God has given me, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to build bigger accounts for myself. I'm going to buy a new car. I'm going to change my phone. Yeah, I've worn these shoes 3 times. I need new ones. Are you finding my verse? Praise the Lord. Yeah. There was no other person included in that agenda. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there, I will store how much? All. I'll store all my grain and my goods. Verse 19. Wow. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Take life easy. Eat. Drink. Be merry. In other words, have Merry Christmas every day. Every day is Christmas. Verse 20. But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then this is the question we must all go home with. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? As you are walking out of here this morning, I want you to go home with this question in mind. Who will get what I have prepared? I didn't prepare it for them. I prepared it for who? Myself. Who will get it now? Who will get the laptop? Hey. 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 Who will get the iPhone 16? Who will get the new hairpiece? The new hairpiece that you just bought and you haven't tried it. You are preparing it for a wedding that is coming in June. Who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Because tonight, your soul will be demanded of you. Are you catching this? Yeah. This is not to scare any of us. It's actually to bring wisdom to us. Don't live life as if you own life. No. You are here today to receive wisdom. Are you catching something?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you are here today to receive wisdom. We give to live. The day you stop giving, you die. We give to live. If you inhale the breath and you say you not give it back, you are dead. For you to keep living, you have to receive, give, take, give, take, give. You eat, you release. You drink, you release. That's how you keep living. The day you decide that, you will take and keep. You become what we call the Dead Sea. Do you know why it is called the Dead Sea? In the Bible, there's a sea called the Dead Sea. Do you know why? Because nothing lives there. It is so salty. The water is so salty that if they throw you in the Dead Sea, you can't drown. You will float. Because of the saltiness of the place. No animal, no, you will never find a fish there. Nothing lives there. Everything dies. As soon as it enters there, it dies. But the reason why the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea is because it doesn't give its waters to anyone. When the water enters there, it gets stuck. The water gets stuck and it starts rotting. That's why it is called the Dead Sea, because it takes water from the other rivers, but it doesn't give it to another river. It keeps it to itself. And some people are like that. As soon as the thing enters their life, everybody must say goodbye to that thing. Nobody will ever see it again in 1,000 years. No. God wants to give to us, but not so that we can become greedy, selfish, self-centered, only for you. No. God will like you to be generous. I said, God will like you to be generous. Open your eyes. Who can I help? Where can I be a blessing? There are things you throw that other people wish to have. There are things you throw right now. No matter how poor you are, there's somebody that is poorer than you. So compared to them, you are better off. So you can help them. And we all come here to receive. Yes. Why? So we can be a blessing. We can be a blessing. Look at verse 21. Can you stand on your feet, please? Let's be on our feet this morning. Verse 21 says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. The Bible is predicting already that whoever behaves like the rich fool will end up like the rich fool. Wisdom has come to us this morning. Sometimes we come to God not necessarily to receive what we thought we were going to receive, but to receive something else. And if you can do that, I mean, I'm telling you my story of four scones. You know how much I spent for four scones? 15 rent. 15 rent. 15 rent. Less than 30 minutes, I got 1,250 rent. From a person I was not talking to the person, nothing. No, as I was obeying God this side, God started talking to somebody that side. If you could learn to look beyond yourself and think about the needs of others, I tell you, God will start thinking about your needs. Change the story of somebody. To be honest with you, more and more, I'm enjoying making others happy. And I pray that God help my heart to be more of that person. That it's not just about what I'm getting out of this. Who else is blessed here because of me? As I close, I heard the story of a woman who had a white dress that she was no more using. And she blessed another sister in the church with that white dress. She says, years later, they came for the convention. And the Holy Ghost says to her, look at the lady. And she looked at her. She said, Michael, am I seeing well? Is that the same dress I gave her? She said she got close to look. It was the same dress. But the lady had taken such good care of it. You know, in my country, we have this product. You can soak the thing in a product and it keeps its texture. So the thing was still splash. She looked at it and said, my God. She asked her, my sister, is it the dress I gave you? She said, yeah, it's the same dress. I wear it every year at the convention. I soak it. She said, wow. She said, my God, I didn't know it will mean so much to you. I didn't know it will have such an effect on you. I didn't know it will be so important to you. For me, that dress was nothing. But I'm so happy to see what you've done with it. And what it is doing with you. I tell you. It's a story I heard in a program, and it stayed with me. Sometimes something doesn't mean anything to you. That's why it is just lying there. Let it go. There's another person that will do so much with it. That there's another person that the thing will be such a blessing to them. If you could just let it go to them. But guess what? We'll keep it in our wardrobe. It doesn't do anything. We are not wearing the thing. But we are keeping it. We are keeping it. May God help us. Now, remember what we learned this morning. Don't love in words only. Love with what?
Action.
So I'm giving you a few action points. Go home. Please. Check your wardrobe. This morning, me, I gave 2 suits this morning. I don't want to say to who, but I blessed somebody this morning with 2. And as the person almost cried. I'm like, wow. I think I should do this more often. I like to see people cry. Those suits have been there for you. I don't wear them. Another person is struggling. Things are in your house. Shoes that your foot has grown. It can't carry the thing. But you are keeping it. It must be there. It reminds me of 1976. And I mean, how does that help us? How does that help us? Praise the Lord. Release some of these things. You know what you do when you release? You make room for more.
Amen.
You make room for more. Open your wardrobe. Let go of certain things so that there's space. So that God can send brand new stuff your way. Hallelujah. Lift your hands this morning and start asking God to touch. First of all, let's just thank God for the word that has come. Start thanking God for the word that has come this morning. Open your mouth and start thanking God for the word. Open your mouth and start thanking God for the word that came.
Thank you, Jesus, for this word that has come. Thank you that your word has not fallen on dry ground. Indeed, your word has been planted on good ground. And we believe that this word will produce a fruit, Lord, a harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold, oh, Father God. Father, we pray this morning, watch over this word. Yes, concentrate and begin to ask God to watch over this word, to fulfill it in your life. Lord, watch over this word that I have received and fulfill it in my life. May I return with a testimony. May I return with a story of breakthrough. May I receive my breakthrough as I've listened to this word, oh Father God. Thank you, Father, for letting me know today that you are giving to me because you love me, oh Father God. Thank you, Father God, and you want me to be a blessing to other people. Thank you, Father, for making me aware that if I don't have your blessing, I'm walking on a cursed ground, but your blessing on this ground can produce fruit in my life. Thank you for this word, oh Jesus. We receive it with gladness of heart. Thank you, Father, that you are touching every heart in this place and that we are being changed. We are being transformed as our mind gets renewed. Indeed, we will become channels of blessings. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Maybe you are here this morning. You've received the word of God with every head bowed and in every eye closed. Just keep the same song. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You are here today. You've received the word of God. And you know that you don't know how to be generous. All you know, all you've been taught is to look out for number one. All your life you've been told to protect yourself, to take care of your family, to take care of your children. That you don't know how to look outside and care for other people. And as pastors be teaching you, saying, you know, I've never known things like this. It's because you've come to encounter Jesus. It's because you've come to encounter the living God. And as you've heard this word and he was burning within your heart, open up your heart. Do not harden it. You say, I want to change. I don't want to live this life of selfishness, this life of being self-centered, of pointing fingers at other people, of pointing the wrongs of other people, of being the one on the receiving end only. I want to be on the other end. I want to be on the blessing hand, the giving hand. I want to be that person. I want to be a giver. I want to be generous. To become that, you need Jesus. You need him to be your Lord and your Savior. You need him to work in your heart to change you. You need him because it's only him that gives us the ability to be like him. He is a giver. He's generous. He's generous with his grace. Freely we have received grace. That's why we are able to give grace to others. And so you can also receive Jesus. That's where it all begins. He touches your heart. He changes your mind. He changes your convictions. He changes all patterns. He can do that for somebody today. He can do that for you right now. You're in this place. You're saying, Jesus, I've heard your word. I've heard your voice. I want to change. I don't want to be self-absorbed, selfish, self-centered. I want to come off the throne of my heart. And I want you to be the Lord of my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Not my needs, not my circumstances. At the count of three, lift up your hand. You're saying, Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. 1, 2, 3. Raise it up. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see hands going up all over the building. I see your hand. God sees your hands. Raise it up high. Raise it up high. You're saying, Jesus, it's me. I want you. I want you to be my Lord and be my Savior. Raise it up. Hallelujah. You can put your hand down. Maybe you are born again, but there's this issue of generosity that you've been struggling with. You've been struggling with your tithe. You've been struggling with just giving to anybody at all. You are always worried about not having enough. Do I have enough? Am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to get this done? Listen, God wants to bless you, but he cannot bless you if you only keep things to yourself. You become a dead end. He wants us to become channels of blessings. He wants us to be rivers where blessings don't just get stuck with us, but they are reaching other people. Like Pastor was teaching, God said to Abraham, I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. I will bless you and you'll be a blessing. Maybe you are born again, but you haven't really gotten to the part of being a blessing. Today is the day for you. You can recommit your life to Jesus, renew your vow, and say, Jesus, you gave freely. Let me also receive the grace to also give freely. You want to recommit your life? At the count of three, lift up your hand and we'll also pray with you. 1, 2, 3. You struggled with tithing. You struggled with giving, with being generous. The Lord is going to help you today. In Jesus' name, come. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. If you've lifted up your hand for any of this altar call, come and join us right here. Come. Take a bold step and join us. Yes. Yes. Come. Come and stand here so we can pray with you. Come. Come, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the call of God in your life. Do not harden your heart. Yes, if you know that you lifted up your hand, come. You know that the Holy Spirit was speaking to you, come. Come, my brother. Come, my sister. Come, come. Do not be ashamed. Do not be, put your hands together for them as they are taking a stand for Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, come, come, come. They are coming. Yes, help them come. Beat them, come. Help them come. You saw those hands that were lifted up. Help them come. More people are coming. Yes, clap for him. Clap for them. Hallelujah. We are so grateful. I'm seeing new faces. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. We are so grateful for what God is doing in this place. Amen. Stretch out your hand high and repeat after me this prayer. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for restoring me, and for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.